Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, June 4th. Coming up today, the Home Secretary has been in Kent as the election campaign continues, and we'll hear from a dentist who fears dental care in part of the county is falling below the national standard. But first, taking a look at our top story today. Dash cam footage has emerged at the moment. A lorry driver pushed over a pensioner in a fit of road rage on the A2 near Gravesend. The lorry was sitting in a long line of traffic because of roadworks when the 4x4 pulled into the lane in front of him, clipping the wing mirror. Here's a bit of audio that shows what happens next. Mark King climbed down from the truck and pushed 78-year-old Robert Venus so hard that he fell backwards onto his open door and injured his back. 63-year-old King, who lives in Aidsfield in Wilmington, was later charged with assault over the incident and admitted the offence when he appeared before magistrates in Medway last month. He's been told to pay more than £400 in fines and costs. You can watch the video at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Some updates now from the election campaign trail, and the Home Secretary has been in Kent today to talk about what the county can expect from a Conservative government if they're voted back in the July 4th election. James Cleverly has been speaking to Robert Boddy in Strood.
Electoral calculus last week predicted that in Kent as a whole there would be only three Tory MPs after this election. What can you offer to people of Kent and Medway that are going to make them reconsider that?
Well, that those opinion polls do not accord with the feedback that I've had when I've knocked on doors with my Kent colleagues. Of course the people of Kent want to see the cost of living come down, and they'll be pleased that the inflation figures are now back within the normal range. They want to see us getting a grip of immigration, and we've got a plan to tackle both legal migration and to stop the boats, including the Small Boats Operational Command, which has been up and running, commanded by a former British Army general. They want to see the economy growing so that we can invest in public services. All of those things is what they'll get if they vote Conservative, one of my excellent colleagues here in the Medway towns, all of which will be put at risk if we end up with a Labour government who have no plans for the economy other than putting up taxes, no plans for border control other than scrapping the Rwanda scheme, no plans for putting more police officers on the streets. And as we've seen in Wales, where they actually run the NHS, no plan to credibly reduce waiting lists.
It comes as the Conservatives are announcing plans for a cap on the number of visas for people who want to come to the UK to work or to be with family. Rishi Sunak says MPs will get to vote on the number if the Tories win the election, but there are concerns about how a lack of overseas workers will impact some industries. James Smith is a farmer from Maidstone.
There tends to be this complete confusion between seasonal workers, people moving between countries to work and contribute, versus illegal immigration. And so we see our access to labour as tied up with an immigration issue, and that they're separate, completely separate things.
Kent Online News.
The family of a woman who was murdered by a Rochester man as she walked home says they're tortured by the thought her death was preventable. Zara Alina was attacked by Jordan McSweeney in June 2022, days after he'd been recalled to prison for breaching conditions of his licence. An inquest into Zara's death is continuing. Two men have been arrested over the death of a young girl as she tried to cross the channel to Kent in a small boat. The 19 and 24-year-old Sudanese nationals were detained in the Hillingdon area of London and are due in court on Friday. The youngster died after boarding a vessel in April. A man's appeared in court accused of sex attacks on girls in Folkestone. Police were called on Sunday to reports of someone touching a girl on the leg in the Road of Remembrance. A 79-year-old from the town was arrested and also charged with similar offences on a bus and in Harbour Street. A man who barged into a home in Ramsgate and threatened people with a meat cleaver has avoided being sent to prison. A court heard how Brandon Cook had earlier exchanged threats with one of the residents over a drugs debt. The 21-year-old from Arlington Gardens in Margate has been ordered to do 80 hours of unpaid work. A 13-year-old boy has been arrested on suspicion of having a knife in Maidstone. Police were called to Fremlin Walk Shopping Centre and chased the teenager on foot to Romney Place, where he was detained. A knife was found nearby. Three people have been treated for the effects of breathing in smoke after a fire at a flat in Strood. The blaze is thought thought to have started in a tumble dryer on Cuxton Road yesterday evening. Four fire engines and paramedics were called to the scene. A suspected thief has been charged after more than £1,000 worth of goods was stolen from high street stores in Kent. Shops in Sittingbourne and Sheerness were targeted between March and May this year. 52-year-old Jason Bowers, who lives in London Road in Sittingbourne, will face court next week.
Kent Online News.
A Kent mum is calling for more awareness about endometriosis after being mistakenly labelled a drug seeker at her local hospital. Amy Simpkins from Hythe was diagnosed with the condition, which affects the womb, when she was 17. She had to go to A&E because it was so painful, but says doctors didn't understand enough about it.
There's not enough knowledge or resources within the NHS to support women with conditions like endometriosis, women's health as a whole. I'm very fortunate that the specialist I'm under is an endometriosis lead, and I'm fortunate enough my GP knows a lot and can offer a lot of support. However, there's times I've had to go into hospital because that flare-up is too severe to be managed in the community. And just due to lack of knowledge, my local hospital didn't know enough, and they still don't know enough to support me. You know, my specialist can't be there 24/7 every day. So there needs to be something where these professionals in that A&E have that basic knowledge. You know, they acknowledged it was a mistake. They mistakenly labelled me a drug seeker, refused me treatment. There were times where even after my GP has sent me in, they've made that clinical decision to say she needs IV fluid. She's very dehydrated. She's bleeding a lot. She's not keeping anything down orally. To them to say, no, we're not going to treat that. So there were times I was left bleeding through my clothes, you know, unable to keep even water down, and I'm being refused treatment because these professionals, these consultants in A&E don't know enough about a condition. Endometriosis affects 1 in 10 women. Diabetes statistically affects 1 in 10 people. So that's kind of the same statistically. And I can guarantee if someone went into A&E because of, you know, a diabetic related issue, the doctors there would know enough about that condition to provide them the right support and right treatment. If you look at it from a woman's health perspective, that 1 in 10, they don't know enough to provide support. And I just think it's, in this day and age, it's not acceptable. So I did the petition, and in under 2 months, over 41,000 have signed nationally as well, even outside of the UK, which I think shows I don't stand alone in this. I've had a lot of messages from women all over the country saying, we've had the same experience. This is exactly what happened to me. So, you know, it isn't a witch hunt at my local hospital. It's me using my experience, solid facts that I can say happened, as an example. And other women across the UK have said, you know what, even at my hospital, I had the exact same. So it just highlights, and it's quite indicative of a larger issue within the NHS.
She started a petition for improvements to care and treatment, which has been signed by more than 41,000 people. The parents of a baby who died after choking on food at a nursery in Ashford are welcoming a coroner's report on first aid and weaning training for staff. 9-month-old Oliver Steeper was being fed chopped up pasta bolognese despite not eating proper solid foods at home. A prevention of future deaths report has now been sent to the Department for Education following last month's inquest. Shoppers at a Tesco in Kent have clashed with animal rights activists after they blocked a meat aisle. 6 members of Animal Rising in Kent staged a sit-in protest at the supermarket in Ashford. Police were called, but no one was arrested. A Kent mum says she's been left with nerve damage after a rare allergic reaction to a pregnancy injection. Sarah Bristow from Hadlow was prescribed a blood thinner after developing deep vein thrombosis, but a few days later her left leg started to turn black. She needed surgery to remove the infection. She's raising awareness of the condition so so others don't face the same ordeal. Animal rescue volunteers have discovered more than 100 black cats abandoned in an empty property near Dartford. Workers at Safe Haven Rescue received a call last week to help the animals who'd been left by a tenant. They spent hours trying to catch as many as they could and are now looking for foster carers and permanent homes.
Kent Online News.
Plans for a dentist to expand into Northfleet have been approved in the hopes it will ease some of the backlog for NHS patients. Research from Create Dental has found almost one in three families in the Gravesham area aren't receiving adequate healthcare. Owner Dr. Mahir Shah says dental care in the area is falling well below the national standard.
From all our research and kind of analysis, we can see that almost one in three families, sadly, within the Gravesham area are not receiving adequate healthcare and actually fall below living standards. So one of the major things that we want to push at Create Dental is to improve those standards, certainly in terms of oral healthcare services, so that hopefully your children won't need to have a tooth taken out and won't have to go to A&E and worry about waiting for endless appointment visits there. You won't have to worry, hopefully, of tooth decay, because we can spot it early by increasing capacity. And by helping, supporting and educating the local area, we can hopefully improve oral health standards within the area. But also locally, we can also help with employment as well within our organisation.
And what are we kind of seeing in dentistry at the moment? I know there's obviously the backlogs and long waiting lists for NHS patients. So this new dentist will hopefully, you know, relieve some of that pressure, but kind of what pressures are we seeing at the minute?
So, you know, dentistry, as we know, it has come really to the limelight and foresight over the last kind of 2 years or so in the news. We see it month in, month out. So there's a number of pressures that we're seeing. So essentially, during COVID and post-pandemic, what we're seeing is that there are very, very long waiting lists. Because dental practices were closed for a period of time during the pandemic, we weren't able to see patients for almost 3-4 months. This has created long waiting lists. In addition to that, following the opening of the practices during the pandemic, we weren't, due to government guidance, allowed to see as many patients as we would like. So as a result of that, because of the decontamination times required, even though dentistry is as safe as an operating theatre, we couldn't see the same volume of patients as we were before the COVID pandemic. So this has meant that there are very, very long backlogs of waiting lists, you know, particularly for NHS care. The other major issue that we're finding is that a lot of dentists, sadly, have left our profession. They're working in conditions and with a contract that unfortunately has meant that the motivation to see patients and sadly the conditions of work have meant that they can't see as many patients as they would like and help people. So because there is an undersupply of dentists and oversubscription of demand, we're seeing a backlog. And hopefully by expanding our services within the area, you know, with great, you know, well-trained local clinicians, we'll be able to ease some of those pressures within that clinic.
He'll be taking over the former Quigley Dental Practice on Hunt Road and extending into the flat above in the hopes of treating up to 75 patients a day. The leader of the Conservatives in Medway Council has spoken out in support of bringing back national service. George Perfect, who's only 24 himself, says Rishi Sunak has set out a positive policy that will make young people stronger. He's been speaking on this week's Kent Politics podcast.
Look at the public polling around it and look at the work that particularly Onward did. It were a think tank that did a lot of work on this over the past 12 months. Look, it's an option. It's military service, or the alternative is volunteering within the community on one Saturday a month. And I think the community benefits in particular that will provide could be pretty transformational.
I mean, you say there that it's sort of national service receives some support. I mean, for some YouGov polling earlier this week showed that the only group that really supported it was the over 65s, who obviously are not 18 and so won't be required to do the national service. I mean, is it even realistic? Because the armed forces are quite smaller than they used to be. Even if everyone wanted to do the full year in military service, we wouldn't really be able to cope with that, would we? It's not a real plan, is it?
Well, it absolutely is. I mean, the Prime Minister's outlined it. There's a paper that's sat alongside it, and indeed it will be featuring the manifesto that will be launched in the coming weeks with the whole package of measures for children and young people and education and defence. It's a plan that will work. The Prime Minister's demonstrated through reallocating funds from the UK Share Prosperity Fund and from a number of other methods, including through the non-dom status review that the Chancellor of the Exchequer announced in the last budget, demonstrates that it's financially feasible. And in terms of the deliverability of the plan, it absolutely is. And it's not just, as I say, about military service. There's a volunteering option that will allow 18-year-olds to volunteer within their community as well. And I think we've got so many opportunities actually right across the UK for young people to be able to do that. So I think it is a very positive policy. And it demonstrates once again that the Prime Minister's got a clear plan and willing to take that bold action to deliver long term for the United Kingdom.
I mean, if this policy had come in a couple of years ago, you yourself would have been, it would have been necessary for you to do some of this. I mean, you call it volunteering, yeah, but it is required. It's conscripted. So, I mean, would you really have appreciated being told, you know, what to do with your time?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I've been volunteering since I was about 13. I was a youth council member when I was 13.
But my point is, you chose to do those things rather than being sort of mandated by the government.
Well, I think, I would personally be up for it. I think, as I say, I think I've already done it. But I think in terms of actually children and young people now wanting and being up for it, it's not just about it's not just about being seen as a chore. It's about improving community relations and about building a strong society for the future. And as I say, it demonstrates that the Prime Minister is willing to take action, which right now some might not find popular, but actually long term it will deliver stronger young people that as they leave education or indeed college or training after they either graduate or leave education, have that opportunity of two of two and the experience from volunteering or indeed national service. So I think it is a good idea, and I think there's definitely strong merits in it.
Critics say the policy is undeliverable and have questioned what will happen if people refuse to do it.
Kent Online News.
As we prepare to mark the 80th anniversary of D-Day, the Kent Online podcast has been hearing about Kent's crucial role in the invasion. An operation of deception was carried out in 1944 to convince the Germans that British and American troops would cross from Dover to Calais so they didn't divert defences to the actual landing site in Normandy. Paul Patterson is a senior historian at English Heritage.
For several months before D-Day, there was an elaborate scheme to conceal the true location where the British and American forces were going to land in France. Now, we already knew that the Germans thought that it was going to be most likely from Dover to the Pas de Calais. We didn't want them to know that the real location was going to be Normandy. And so there was a very elaborate series of deceptions perpetrated. They wanted to convince the German High Command that there was an enormous army assembling in the southeast of England, focused upon Dover, and that that army was about to embark, and that that would be the invasion. So we knew this, and a number of things were done to reinforce that in German minds, so that they couldn't divert resources from their strongest defended area on the coast around Calais down to Normandy when the landings actually happened. And this Operation Fortitude South took a number of forms, but its principal aim was to create the idea that there was this huge army. Now, that army was theoretically about 1.5 million soldiers. Now, it's very difficult to conceal 1.5 million soldiers, even across the whole southeast of England. And so what they had to do was to simulate in a number of ways that this army was actually there. And one of the ways they did that was through generating an enormous amount of fake radio traffic. So they established a number of signals soldiers, signal units. Some of them were mobile and they were roaming around the whole of the southeast, and some of them were fixed, including one in Dover Castle. As well as this kind of fake radio traffic, there were also physical methods of convincing the Germans that an army was assembling. And these were things like dummy landing craft positioned in Dover Harbour and in other harbours, you know, 50 miles either side. And these things were made of canvas and scaffolding poles and plywood, and elaborately painted so that from the air, you know, a German plane doing air reconnaissance, they would look like the real thing. And then dotted around the countryside, around and actually all over the southeast, there were things like inflatable tanks and armored vehicles. They literally were inflated. And so that, again, from the air, they looked realistic. And they'd even go so far as to drive a real armored vehicle around a muddy field, so it left tracks as if there was lots of movement. And then they would position these vehicles and they would move them every day to keep up the idea that things were changing constantly.
Kent Online News.
A horse has been rescued after getting trapped in a waterfill ditch near Gravesend. Firefighters sent their animal unit to a farm on Church Street in Higham and spent 2 hours lifting Lily to safety. She was checked over by a vet before being returned to her field uninjured. The owner of a chippy that overlooks Dover Castle is retiring after more than 40 years. Luigi Del Duca has been running Castle Takeaway since 1980 and says he's proud to have served local customers for so many years. The 72-year-old says he's looking forward to spending more time with his own family. A movie filmed in Kent will be shown on the big screen in Herne Bay. Tell That to the Winter Sea features locations like the Bandstand Beach and Clock Tower in the town. It'll be shown at the Cavanagh Cinemas for 7 days, starting this Friday. And Hugh Dennis has been in Kent to officially open a new archaeology gallery. The comedian, actor and presenter has unveiled the Lives in Our Landscape exhibition at the Maidstone Museum. The immersive gallery, which tells the story of how people have lived in the area over the last 600 years, is open to the public from tomorrow.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Gillingham's latest accounts reveal a pre-tax loss of over £2 million for the 2022-23 season. That was their first year back in League Two. And when new owner Brad Gallinson took over at the club, he's been working to pay off some of the long-term debts while increasing investment. Staying with football, and Maidstone's Alessia Russo is part of the England women's squad taking on France in a Euro 2025 qualifier tonight. They were beaten by France 2-1 in Newcastle last week and are currently third in the table behind France and Sweden. Only the top two teams will automatically qualify. Kickoff is at 8. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.